While working, he eats kale and pets a cat. Bill King is a multitasker.
Brett Ciancia with us, Pick Six Previews, every Wednesday. Brett, this came up just a couple of minutes ago. We can always speculate. If you were slotting the playoffs today, four teams, what would it look like?
Yeah, good morning, Bill. Thanks for having me on. And, the first three that I'll give are the same three that I had in August. I think the Georgia, number one. Oklahoma, now that looks like they've turned a corner, they've kind of clicked on offense with Caleb Williams, still have that undefeated and a mulligan loss in their pocket here. So I go Oklahoma. I go Ohio State. I think they're still the best team in the Big Ten, in my opinion. The most consistent down the stretch. I think they're going to win the conference. So those three I had back in August. Now the fourth spot is wide open. My roulette chip pick definitely missed with UNC. But everyone else is with Clemson also missed. So we're all kind of even there in the fourth spot. It's wide open. I'd go with Oregon right now just to have a conference champ in there. It's really hard to predict a scenario where two from one league get in. It's a lot of gymnastics to try and make that work. So as of now, I'm not going to do that. So four conference champs, I'll go with those first three, and I'll go with Oregon.
Brett Ciancia joins us each and every Wednesday. This past Saturday, week six of the college football season, what stood out to you?
Well, it was a really special Saturday. I mean, this is what makes college football great. I mean, the way that there were multiple just breathtaking moments. I don't know what the right word is. I don't want to get too gushy, but it was just awesome just seeing some upsets, a lot of back-and-forth games. The Red River rivalry was a huge comeback and a rival game. Even the Ole Miss-Arkansas was just punch for punch. If you like offense, that was your kind of game. If you like defense, Penn State-Iowa was your kind of game, with Iowa just suffocating Penn State with field position and locking down their backup quarterback. But they, beyond the backup, they earned that victory too. So, and of course, Alabama losing is extremely rare. First time in 100 games against unranked teams, they lost a game there. So, so much to like. That was one of the best Saturdays in a long time.
So many games that grabbed me. The Ole Miss-Arkansas game simultaneously with Texas-Oklahoma was just exhilarating, having those on together. Penn State-Iowa took several turns during the game. Momentum changes. And then, of course, nighttime, you had the A&M upset over Alabama. Yeah, that might have been our most, again, you called it gushing, but exhilarating weekend so far.
Yeah, for sure. And then even on top of that, you dig a little deeper. You had Michigan-Nebraska was a great game. Undefeated team there with Michigan going into Lincoln. It's great to see, a powerhouse program like Nebraska just being competitive again with a big atmosphere. I mean, they looked the part. And I know that record on the ticker doesn't look right, but they're better than that 3-4 record shows. So that was another good one. And then others, I can find storylines everywhere. I mean, Tennessee's offense just exploding for another, 50-plus point game. They're on fire right now. You can go up and down the college football landscape. There's a lot to keep an eye on.
Brett Ciancia is with us. What about that Notre Dame Virginia Tech game?
Yeah, that was a battle back and forth. It kind of played right down to what the Vegas expectation was. It was 1 point either direction. It was a pick 'em at some time, so it really came down to the wire. Notre Dame, they've had so many close one-score wins, it's hard to really value how much, it's hard to predict how much value they really have going forward. They could easily be 1-4, 1-5, but you got to give them credit for surviving and getting W's. So, and then that's another tough loss for Justin Fuente. I know that some Virginia Tech fans are starting to turn up the heat on him a little bit. And coming into the season, I'd say he was one of the hottest hot seats out there. The UNC win in the opener kind of settled them down a bit because that was supposed to be a massive win. It turns out that UNC might not be actually a coastal contender, and the hot seat's getting back there for Fuente. So Very interesting there. You had the upset with BYU, another undefeated team that went in and lost to an unranked team. And I know it's Boise State, and that's a very proud program, but still, it was an unranked over a top 10 team. So, and the fact that we're talking about that, like eighth on the list, shows how busy and crowded that Saturday was.
Speaking of that, Randy over in the Roanoke area says, do you think Fuente is officially on the hot seat?
Yeah, I think so. Now, what's funny is I thought that he was last year too. And, the whole storyline last year in 2020, we thought was going to be, with these budgets and the weird season, no one's going to get fired. It's going to be just a mulligan season for everybody. It was the exact opposite last year. It was the wild, wild west again in the coaching carousel world, except for in Blacksburg. For some reason, they were the ones that kind of kept Fuente. They didn't even touch the coaching carousel at all. So it held true there in that one location. I was surprised. But, it was definitely a hot seat coming into the year. And then a couple of these losses, these close losses, are starting to pile up. And, they really need to get back to contending for the Coastal to save his job.
You're thinking on Alabama today as opposed to, let's say, a couple of weeks ago.
Well, there were some issues there against Florida. There was some writing on the wall in that game where they weren't able to stop their run. I think it was 250 or 260 rushing yards to Florida, a team that the last couple of years, as you know, has really struggled running the ball. So that, I know they won the game. It was a tough environment in the swamp, so I didn't want to fault them for it. But in the back of your mind, you thought, maybe Alabama is vulnerable a little bit on defense. And then fast forward a couple of weeks, and here they are, getting passed on a ton by Calzada, the backup at A&M, they really couldn't stop them. So yeah, there's some flaws there on defense, and if they're not converting in the red zone, like they had a couple empty trips or a couple field goals instead of touchdowns, they lost pace, and A&M pulled it off. So congrats A&M, that's a monumental win for that program. We've seen A&M building for the last couple of years. They've done everything right in terms of signing the big coach. Getting all the booster money, the stadium is crazy, the fans are crazy, and then the recruiting followed, and then the wins followed, obviously, after that. So it's also just unlucky timing where they finally knock off Saban, but it's in a year where they already have that second loss. So I don't know how much damage they can really do, but still a huge win. Yeah, with Alabama, they look beatable, and obviously they did just get beat. So this is not your invincible 2020 Alabama team.
What's your outlook for Clemson?
Man, the ACC is one of the most wide-open conferences I've seen. I mean, I've been doing this now. This is my 10th season with Pick 6 Previews, and I don't remember a conference that was just this wide open. I couldn't even power rank them if I had to right now, top five of the ACC. So with Clemson, what that means, in my opinion, is a lot of winnable games. They're all going to be close margins. You're not going to see Clemson with their usual 35-0 blowouts within the ACC. They're going to all come down in the fourth quarter. And they're going to have to really earn each of these W's. You saw it already with Boston College, took them to the wire, NC State the same, and beat them, NC State. So, there's not going to be many easy W's down the stretch. So, the goal for them, obviously, is win the conference, continue their all-time streak. I think it's six in a row ACC championships, and that's an all-time record for outright conference title game wins. They want to extend that. They can. All their goals are in front of them except for playoff. And I know that's a huge goal at Clemson, but you can still have a pretty solid season.
Lane Kiffin's going back to Rocky Top on Saturday. They're favored by a couple of points over Tennessee. Tennessee's offense, as you mentioned, has awakened. And other than they hit a flat spot basically in the second half of that South Carolina game, but they already had about a 35-7 at the time, so that might have been somewhat of a factor. But the Ole Miss-Tennessee game, how do you see that one playing out?
Yeah, well, I mentioned if you like points, then that Ole Miss-Arkansas was your game. It's going to be similar here with Ole Miss-Tennessee. The over-under in the game's 81 points, which I think would be an SEC record if that holds at kickoff, shattering the one a couple weeks ago between Ole Miss and Alabama. So ton of offense. And it's interesting to see Tennessee just rising out of nowhere, just the offense clicking. This is a program and a team that was really written off by everybody. They thought that with all the transfer portal exodus out of there, with a coaching change, that it would be a year or two before they were competitive. But the way that the offense is scoring is going to keep them in any game right now. Hendon Hooker really clicking as a transfer starting quarterback. So look for a ton of points, and it's going to just be a shootout again.
Oh, I think you're right. I tell you what, and That Arkansas-Ole Miss game, I thought that was the best. There are a lot of really good games. That one was my favorite from last Saturday, though. And Sam Pittman going for two there at the end, it didn't work out. But I thought he had the right thing in mind. They had the momentum. They had the ball. Ole Miss's defense had to be dead. And I thought the play call was poor. There weren't many poor play calls in that game because they put up 50-plus. But I didn't have a problem with them trying to win it there. Did you?
No, it's one of those, you know, 50-50 calls. I've seen it both ways. They felt they had the momentum. They felt that it was going to be continue to be a defensive shootout, so why not just go for the win right there? They have a huge frame quarterback. I would have maybe gotten him more involved in the run. He, you know, Jefferson looked incredible in that game, some of the plays he was making. I agree with you that it was maybe the most exhilarating game of the day just because it was punch for punch. It was always within 7 points, and each offense just started matching each other. You know, every single possession. It was pretty cool. And yeah, Arkansas's receiver, I'm drawing a blank on his name right now, but back to back, just huge catches he made on the sideline using his big frame. And both of those were just some of the catches of the whole day. But on back to back plays was pretty cool to see. You had the coaching connection where you had in-laws as the offensive coordinator. So it really had everything. I know that it was a little bit overshadowed nationally by the Big Fox game with Oklahoma, Texas, but hey, that's why I'm a big proponent of getting multiple screens on Saturday. So having that second screen with Ole Miss Arkansas going was incredible. And I think with both of those teams, they're solid teams. I think that you have two legitimate top 25 teams and you know, just great storylines at both.
Yeah, Treylon Burks is the receiver for Arkansas, who's probably the best receiver in the SEC. He's a big, yeah, strong kid, fantastic. They were showing his hands. They're like 10 inches plus. He's got massive hands. He'll be a big-time pro. He's got all the measurables and everything you need to be a big-time player on Sundays. Brett Ciancia with us, Pick 6 Previews. Brett, is there another game or two that jumps out week 7 for you this coming Saturday?
Well, it looks a little bit light on the schedule, and I think that's just because we've been spoiled the last couple of weeks. But you know, these are the weeks that the craziness can still pop out of nowhere. So, I want to keep an eye on Iowa-Purdue. Purdue's a program that really gives Iowa fits. I don't know what it is over there, but they're Iowa killers, if you will. So with Iowa coming off of an emotional, huge win over Penn State, top five game, storm the field game, maybe a little bit of a letdown there. I know the line's still double digits, but look for Purdue maybe to hang in there. It's pretty light. Probably my favorite game actually is what could be the Pac-12 South title game, Utah versus Arizona State. And these were two I was very high on in the preseason. Utah came out a little bit flat out of the gates with a couple losses, but since they made their quarterback switch going from Charlie Brewer to Cam Rising, they look completely different. They just blew out USC. Their first win in L.A. since, I think, 1910 or something crazy, 100 years. So they look like a great team now. They're clicking. Arizona State, they might just be the best in the Pac-12. So, this is a game I guarantee no one will talk about. No one's going to even know it's on. It's like 10:30, but I'll be wired and ready to watch this one because it could decide the Pac-12 South.
How about that Florida-LSU game? Doesn't quite have the buzz we thought it would.
Yeah, I agree. With the teams taking a couple extra losses than we had expected by this point, but just seeing those two rivals go at it, it's always special. Then when you factor in, there might be some hot seat talk for LSU, maybe some added pressure there. It's a shame they just lost Kayshon Boutte, their best receiver, one of the best in the conference. So, you know, for an offense that needs every break they can get at this point, that hurts. That's exciting. You always like to see those rivals facing off. Auburn, Arkansas is another one in the SEC that I know might have lost some luster just from teams taking losses, but still quality teams, quality top 25 teams. And I know that Arkansas has revenge on their minds after last year where they thought they were robbed of a win. And I agree with them where Bo Nix, he spiked the ball backwards, and it was still called a spike instead of the fumble. That flipped the game result. I mean, that really Arkansas should have won that game. So I know they have that in their memory. They're going to go out and try and revenge that.
Tell everybody how they can get all your content.
Yeah, thanks. It's at Pick 6 Previews on Twitter and pick6previews.com, but more so it's on Twitter throughout the season every day.
Appreciate it, man. We'll see you next week.
Thanks, Bill. Enjoy.
Brett Ciancia joins us every Wednesday and is very good. Top of the hour.